Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us here at Believers Victory Church. Today we have an inspiring, powerful message that will change your life. Let's listen in as Pastor Peggy Heal teaches us from the Word of God.
Amen. Well, this is our last Sunday of 2018, and I'm going to share with you today things you need to know for 2019. So get your phone out, get something out to write this down. This is something you need to know. Look at your neighbor and say, you need to know this. You need to know, because 2019 is coming, whether you're ready or not. You need to know. Amen? Over in Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 18, this is out of a different translation, but I think it's such a powerful verse. It says, pray in the Spirit in every situation. Pray in the Spirit in every situation. I'm telling you now, don't go into 2019 without being filled with the Spirit. Amen. Filled with the Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. We're that kind of church. And because it's so powerful, don't miss out on it's a tool. I'm not calling the Holy Ghost a tool, but it's a tool that the Lord has given us. And it's so powerful, because how many know sometimes you just don't know what to do? Anybody have a situation? You don't know. I'm like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. That's why we have the gift and the power and the benefit and the blessing and the tool of praying in the Holy Ghost, because the Bible says when you don't know how to pray, pray in the Spirit. And when we pray in the Spirit of God dwells on the inside. He's not in our mind. He's here in the center of a man, in our spirit. The Spirit of God, he connects with our spirit. And when we pray in the Spirit, he comes and he prays through us. We're praying God's perfect will over any situation that you don't even know. You don't even know what to do. You don't know whether to go right. You don't know whether to stop. You don't know whether to go. That's the time you need to pray in the Spirit, because you don't know. And so the Bible says when you don't know, pray in the Spirit. And you know what? There's a whole lot of times we don't know. A lot of times in prayer, we get caught up telling God how to do stuff. Anybody, God, I need you to do this, this, and this. And God's like, got such a better way for you. He's got a better way, a smarter way, a way that you don't even know exists. It reminds me when we were on our vacation, I shared this before, but it's just such a powerful example of God moving. We were on our motorcycle trip driving through the Pacific Coast Highway. It was such a beautiful time. And we stopped at I forget the name of the park, but it was right across the street from Hearst Castle. We're right there. And so we stopped at it's just this beautiful, beautiful place. And we're traveling and we just happened, say just happened. You know, we had prayed over our trip. We just happened to run into these people. They started talking. We're talking to them. They're talking to us. And they said, hey, did you guys know the road is closed? The road's closed. The Pacific Coast is closed up here because of mudslides. Well, we didn't know that. And he said, but I'll tell you a way to get where you want to go. It's a road that's not even on the map. It's not on the map, and it's one of the curviest roads in America. Now, if you've ever ridden a motorcycle, you know you love curvy roads. Motorcycle people love curvy roads. And they said, you're going to love this road. And so they gave us directions to this road. It wasn't on the map. We went through a military base. We went through this beautiful park. We were literally driving in the clouds at times. And then all of a sudden, we're seeing all these big redwood trees. It was by far one of our favorite roads of the whole trip. And then we come out, and we're coming around this corner, and then all of a sudden, all you see is ocean. It led us exactly where we wanted to go. It was just magnificent. But here's the thing. We had no idea the road existed. We had no idea how to get there. We didn't know anything. And you know what? That's exactly what the Holy Ghost will do for you if you pray. He'll take you on a road that you didn't even know existed. He'll show you a way that you didn't even know was possible. He'll lead you in direction that never even registered on your map. That's what the Holy Ghost will do. And so when the Bible says pray in the Holy Ghost, man, don't leave 2018 and enter 2019 without one of the biggest benefits God has for you. And that's praying in the Spirit. Because there's just too much we don't know. There's too much we don't know. We need the Holy Ghost. Don't let something that boggles your natural mind let you miss out on something supernatural. Does it boggle our mind? Yes. Is it uncomfortable at first? Yes. Does it make sense to your natural mind? No. But you know what? Your natural mind only has so much ability. And I need more than I know. How about you? I need more than I know. There's just too much I don't know. Amen? And so the Bible says, pray in the Spirit in every situation. And then it says, use every kind of prayer and request there is. And so we don't just pray in the Spirit. We also pray according to the Word. We pray the prayer of agreement. We pray the prayer of consecration. You know, there's 9 different kinds of prayer all through the Word. And so my point is, when the Bible says pray in every situation. So how many got some situations you need to pray about? All right. So I'm going to give you just some information you need to know. Number one, pray. Pray in the Spirit. Listen, today we've talked about praying in the Spirit enough here at BVC. Today, immediately following the service, if you've never prayed in the Holy Ghost, you've never been filled with the Holy Ghost, don't leave this service without coming down and letting us pray for you. The Bible says when we lay hands on you, you receive the Holy Ghost and you'll pray in tongues. That's how it works. And there's only 2 reasons why somebody doesn't pray in tongues. Only 2. You don't believe or you don't yield to it. That's it. Because there's no waiting, you get it. You either don't believe it or you don't yield to it. That's it. And so don't leave here today without getting filled with the Holy Ghost, because you're going to need him in 2019 in a greater way. Now, when you get saved, you get the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is in you. But when you get filled with the Holy Ghost comes upon you. Amen? It's a second baptism. And that's not even my message today. That's all freebie. All right. It's all freebie. Not that you have to pay anyway. Turn over to Psalms 23. I'm going to tell you some things you need to know. Things you need to know. This is just some reminders. And we're going to call this the prayer of the sheep. The prayer of the sheep. How do we say this all the time? I'm the sheep. He's the shepherd. I'm the sheep. Some of us just need to say that. I'm the sheep. I'm the sheep. And you know what? A sheep only has so much responsibility. The shepherd has more. And so we need to let the shepherd be the shepherd. The Bible, Jesus says he's the good shepherd. Amen. And so over here in Psalms 23, I know that I preach on this a lot, but I tell you, I love this. I love the 23rd Psalm. I love it. I meditate on it a lot. And I want to show you 8 things that it says that are for you. Amen. 8 things that are for you right here in Psalms 23. So let's start reading here. Psalms 23, verse number 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Ooh, and that's so good. So we're going to look at Psalms 23, and I just want to pull out some things, and I want you to see that this is the prayer of the sheep. This is, even though it's in the Old Testament, it's a great scripture. It's a great portion of scripture to speak over yourself every day. Even if the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You know, I pace back and forth here, and from Brother Hagin's book, Wide Tongues, he says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And he said, I began to confess, I don't want for ability. I don't want for intellect. I don't want for creativity. I don't want for those things, because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He gives me everything I need. Amen? And so the first thing we see here is, number one, this is something you need to know. Look at your neighbor and say, you need to know this. You need to know this for 2019. Number one, Jesus is my shepherd. Come on. Amen. You are my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Psalms 23:1 says, the Lord is my shepherd. In John chapter 10, verse number 14, Jesus said this. He said, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. And if you're new to the things of God, or you feel like maybe your relationship with the Lord is a little stale, like you don't feel as close to Him as you once did, I encourage you to just confess this. You know, there's power in your words. There's power in your words. We say this a lot. Kenneth Copeland said this. He said, the Holy Spirit is the muscle of God, and He supplies the power for the Word of God to come to pass. And so as I speak the Word, the Holy Ghost is waiting. It comes from Genesis chapter 1, where it says the Spirit of God was hovering. He was hovering over the darkness. He was hovering over the earth before it was formed. But as soon as God spoke, the Holy Ghost sprang into action, and He caused what God said to happen. And so when I speak the word, you know what the Holy Ghost is doing? He's waiting for me to speak the word. He's waiting for me to speak the word. You know why? So He can supply the power to it. And so if you're like, man, my life doesn't have any power, then you need to speak the word. Amen. There's no shortage of power. There's shortage of us speaking the word. And so when I speak the word, the Holy Ghost, He's just waiting. He's waiting there to help me to supply the power for the word. And so when I say the Lord is my shepherd, He is the good shepherd. He knows me and I know Him. You know what's happening? The Holy Ghost is going to be like, you need to know Him. He's going to draw me closer to Him. He's going to bring revelation to me. He's going to help me hear the voice of God. You know why? Because He's my helper. He's my helper. And so number one thing I need to remember, I need to know the Lord is my shepherd. He's the shepherd. The shepherd leads me. The shepherd guides me. The shepherd feeds me. The shepherd protects me. The Lord is the shepherd. I'm not the shepherd. Amen. I'm not the shepherd. I'm the sheep. Everybody say, bah. I'm the sheep. So, You are my shepherd, Lord. Number two thing we need to remember is You are my provider. The Lord is my provider. The word says in 23 verse 1, it says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 19, it says, and my God, say my God. Listen, if you want these scriptures to be true in your life, you got to make God yours. Amen. He's got to be my God. He's got to be my God. You can always tell how plugged in somebody is at church if they say, well, your church. No, this is your church. But when somebody comes and says, yeah, our church, my church, you're like, you get it. This isn't just my church. This is our church. Amen? You got to make things your own. You got to take ownership of some things. And so He says, and my God will meet all your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. God said He's our provider. He's our provider. Your job's not your provider. God uses your job. But you know what? God is bigger than your job. Hello. Amen? God is bigger than circumstances. He's bigger than natural things. God is bigger. And God is my source. Man, we need to be speaking that. We need to get back to some of the basics of things and start speaking over our finances. Start declaring that God is my source. Stop limiting ourselves to what we see with our natural eyes. Stop limiting ourselves to saying 1 + 1 = 2. No, 1 + God is what I need. Amen? God can multiply things. That's what He does. The Lord is my provider. Amen? The Lord is my provider. Who's my provider? The Lord is. Next thing that God, He is my peace. He is my peace. You know, sometimes we're looking, oh, when things settle down, then I'll have peace. No, you need peace right now. Yeah. Amen. Because let me tell you something, things don't settle down. Once something ends, something else starts. It's called life. That's called life. You know, people are like, oh, I need a stress-free life. There is no such thing. You don't need a stress-free life. You need to learn how to deal with stress. You need to learn how to deal with it. Because stress comes. That's part of living in the world. There's people. How many met one, right? I mean, it's just like, whoa. There's just people, you know? It's like that nose in the armpit, the sandpaper people. I mean, they're there. We got to learn how to deal with them. You're not going to be moved into a bubble. right? There's no bubble. There's no spiritual bubble for you to live in.
Hello.
And people that live in one, it's going to get popped. And then what's going to happen? We got to learn how to deal with stuff. And one of the number one ways we learn how to deal with stuff is we recognize who our peace is. Not what peace is, who our peace is. And that's the Lord. And so the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my provider, and he is my peace. The Bible says in Psalms 23:2, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. You know, I used to struggle with that. He makes me. Because how many know, like, oh, I don't want to be made to do anything, right? You know? But it's like that's how, I believe the Lord just showed me that's how we're made. We're made to rest. You can't go too far without rest. Your body is made to rest. Your body's made to sleep. Your body's made to just calm down. And when we bypass that, when we try to get by without enough rest, it causes stress. One of the best ways to learn to deal with stress is to make yourself get enough rest. Amen? And so the Bible says he makes me rest. And then it says he leads me beside the still waters. God will lead you beside stillness. He'll lead you into stillness. There's still water, but it's still. And so we need to learn to follow him. That's why he's the shepherd and I'm the sheep. The shepherd leads. The Bible says in John 14:27, this is Jesus talking. He says, peace I leave with you. Quit searching for peace and realize you have peace. Amen? You have peace. Jesus said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. He said, and I do not give you as the world does. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. God, Jesus said, I'm going to give you peace. And not just any peace, it's his peace. And so instead of searching for peace, I need to recognize I have peace and dial into it. The peace of God is on the inside of me. And the way that I tune into that, the way that I lean into it, so to speak, is I remind myself I already have it. I don't have to go get it. I don't have to do that. It's already in me. The peace of God is in me because Jesus gave it to me. And so in those stressful times, in those times when things are going crazy, that's why I pray in the Spirit, because when I pray in the Spirit, it draws me closer to God. It disconnects me from what my mind is doing, and it connects me to us in a spiritual way. And when I connect in a spiritual way, you know what's going to happen? I'm going to be reminded in that what the gifts of God are going to be stirred up on the inside of me. And that's why it's such a blessing to pray in the Holy Ghost. Man, in the most stressful, difficult times of my life, I don't sit and try to figure it out. I just sit and pray in the Holy Ghost. It works every time. And you'll be amazed at the information you have when you're done praying in the Holy Ghost. It's like God makes a holy deposit into you. That's why he says, in every situation, pray in the Spirit. Amen? Next thing, these are things we need to know. The Lord is my shepherd. He is my provider. He is my peace. And he is my healer. He's my healer. The Lord is my healer. He says he restores my soul. Man, God will heal every part of you that you let him. Amen. He'll heal emotional things. He'll heal physical things. He'll heal anything. Amen. You know why? Because he's my healer. He's my healer. And God, you know, people say, oh, but God uses medicine. Listen, don't get so caught up in that where that just becomes your go-to. Oh, but God uses medicine. Yes, God does use medicine. But he is my healer. He's my healer. He's my healer. And when I say that, what's happening? The Holy Ghost pops into action. Amen? 1 Peter 2:24-25, he says this. He's talking about Jesus. Man, let's let this sink in. He personally... Say personally. God didn't delegate his care for you to someone else. He personally carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. By his wounds, you are healed. Once you were like sheep who wandered away, but now you have turned to your shepherd, the guardian of your souls. Oh, that's so good, isn't it? Man, that's powerful. I love that. He personally carried our sins. Jesus personally, just let that sink in. He didn't get angels to do it. He personally carried our sins in his body on the cross. Personally. Why did he do that? So that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. Quit making excuses for sin. Quit making excuses for not doing what is right. Oh, the devil. The devil can't make you do a single thing. He can't make you do anything. He can tempt you, and he's very good at it. He's very good at it. He can trick you, and he's very good at it. But let's not make excuses for it. Let's remember that Jesus personally carried my sin upon the cross so that I can be dead to sin and live for what is right. I've got the power to live for what is right in me. Why? Because Jesus personally made it happen. He personally made it happen. And he says, so that I can live for what is right by his wounds. By his wounds, I am healed. By his wounds. Listen, don't carry anything you don't have to carry. Amen? Let's not carry stuff that doesn't belong to us. And let's just not take something just because it has our name on it. Let's not take it just because, you know, listen, the enemy might be saying, oh, no, this cancer is yours. This asthma is yours. This arthritis is yours. This whatever. And we need to say, listen, the doctor may have put my name on it. The symptoms may have put my name on it. But by his wounds, I am healed. I'm healed. I'm healed. See, what happens is we can be in church so long, we can be saved so long, that we just start letting things happen. Like, oh, I'm just going to take the medicine. And that's great. We're not against medication. Take the medicine. But take the healing too. Yeah. Amen. I'll tell you what, if you deal with sickness in your body, if you have disease in your body, you need to be reading a healing confession every single day of your life. Really, even if you don't, you need to. Why? Because what's happening is I speak the word, the Holy Ghost is going to make the power available. He's the muscle. He's the muscle. Why settle for sickness? Why settle for it? Why just accept it? Why not speak to it? Why not speak the word over it? Why not have hands laid on you? Why not keep speaking the word? What do you got to lose? You got nothing to lose and everything to gain. The Lord's my healer. The Lord's my healer. By his wounds, I am healed. Jesus already carried that. He had 39 stripes on his back. He died on the cross by his wounds. And, you know, I just encourage you. You know, some people, you know, when it comes to sickness and things like that, listen, sickness doesn't equal weakness. Doesn't mean you're weak. It just means you're getting attacked by the enemy. People get attacked in lots of different ways, but I just encourage you, don't stay complacent in it. And don't get offended because I'm saying that. Don't stay complacent in it. Man, let's attack sickness the way that we're supposed to. Amen. I don't care what you say. Every form of sickness is from the enemy. Every form. Because if it tries to steal, if it tries to kill, if it tries to destroy, it's from the enemy. The Bible says that in John 10:10. Jesus came to give me life. And so if you struggle in this area, or you think sickness is God's will, or you're just unsettled about it. When I talk about healing, you're just a little unsettled. And that's okay. That's okay. I was raised in a fundamental Baptist church. I was very unsettled by many things. many things that I learned in the Word. It's like, well, if by your wounds I'm healed, why is there still so much sickness? Why am I sick? What is this? And so there are many things that unsettle us. But you know what will settle you? The Word. The Word will settle you. One of the very, very best books you can read on healing is, yes, Christ the Healer, thank you. Christ the Healer by E.W. Kenyon, right? F.F. Yes. Bosworth. That's one of the best books. And I'll tell you why, because you got to be a reader, though. If you're not a reader, get it on audio if it's available. But it takes from A to Z, and it shows through the Word, through the Old Testament, all the way through to Revelation. It shows how healing is God's will. Listen, just because something is God's will doesn't mean it automatically happens. That's one of the best truths you will ever learn. Amen. Just because something is God's will does not mean it automatically happens. It's God's will that everyone be saved, but how many know that doesn't automatically happen? It's God's will that everyone prospers. That doesn't automatically happen. It's God's will that everyone has joy. Doesn't automatically happen. It's God's will that we walk in healing. Doesn't mean it automatically happens. But I need my faith and I need the Word. But in the book, Christ the Healer, he talks about how, and you think about this, I always say the more science discovers, the more it reveals the truth and the power of God's Word. That every disease, you can Google this, every disease known to mankind can be traced back to 39. 39. How many stripes did Jesus have on his back? 39. Isn't that incredible? Isn't that incredible? And so when the enemy says, oh, not this, you can be like, oh, it. No, even science says it. And so if you are unsettled with the thing, with Jesus being your healer, doesn't mean you don't believe it, but you just need some oomph behind it. Get in the Word. Get in, read some good books. Read Christ the Healer. Read that. And then let God show it to you. You say, well, I have a hard time understanding. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. He's our helper. He'll help you understand. Amen? Say, well, I'm not a reader. Oh, thank God for the Holy Ghost. He'll make you a reader. Amen? Oh, let's stop making excuses. Oh, I don't have time. Let's not even go there. Let's not go there. The Lord is my healer. The Lord's my healer. Does he use doctors? Yes, he does. Does he use medicine? Yes, he is. But who's the healer? The Lord's my healer. By his wounds. By his wounds. You are healed. I am healed. I am healed right now. You say, oh, but the doctor. No, I am healed. I am healed. One of the best lessons I ever learned was by who I consider my pastor, Pastor Tim Gilligan. And he taught the difference between truth and fact. He taught the difference between truth. There is a difference between a truth and a fact. And when he taught that lesson, I was very young. I was in my 20s. It changed my life. Because you may have said, oh, but the doctor said, listen, that's a fact. And facts change. But truth remains. And so you may have gotten a diagnosis that says this is the fact. But when you apply a truth by his wounds, you are healed. When I apply that truth that never changes, will always be the same, when I apply it to that fact, you know what's going to change? Not the truth. The fact will change. The fact will change. And so when you get those diagnoses, you say, oh, those are just facts. Those are facts. I don't deny them. I don't stick my head in the sand about it. I don't walk around saying, oh, no, that's not faith. That's just silliness. I say, okay, that's the facts. But the truth is that I am healed. Amen. That's the truth. And my body has to listen. Because the Lord is my healer. He's my healer. And so I encourage you, let's dust that off a little bit. Let's dust off these truths. Let's remind ourselves of what the Word says. We're going to need this for 2019. Amen? Maybe 2018, you're like, man, I didn't even know that. Well, now you know. Amen? Now you know. The Lord is my healer. Amen? Let's keep going. The Lord is my righteousness. Oh, hallelujah. How many people we have in here who've ever sinned? We can all raise our hand. You know, some of us need to raise a little more, right? We're all sinners. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short of His glory. All of us have. But thank God, He says, He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. He is my righteousness. And here's what that says in 1 Peter 1, 14 and 15. He says, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as He who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. Listen, I don't have to be perfect. Jesus is my righteousness. He makes me righteous. I didn't earn it. I don't deserve it. Right? That's that song. I didn't earn it. I don't deserve it. But He made me that. Jesus made me righteous. So I can stand before the throne of God. I can stand there and I can talk to God. I can be in God's presence. Why? Not because I earned it, but because God gave it to me. He made me righteous. And now that I am righteous, I don't want to live in ignorance anymore. I don't want to live like I used to live. I'm going to live for Jesus. But He's my righteousness. Oh, I'm so grateful for that. And listen, if you're here today and you say, oh, that unsettles me, I'm unsettled in that, then your issue may not be healing. Your issue is shame and sin consciousness. You can't get over the fact that you screwed up. You got to get over it. Amen? You got to get over it, because if you don't get over it, it's going to keep you stuck. It's going to keep you stuck in a loop. You're just going to be like, oh, I repent. Oh, I repent. Or listen, you don't have to keep repenting. You repent and you move on. Amen. You got to get over it. And if anybody asks, you say, yeah, you're right. I blew it. I totally blew it. Thank God He made me righteous. Today's a new day. This is a new year. I've got a new start. He made me righteous. Oh, that's a good word.
Amen.
That's a good word. There's some baggage you need to leave behind. Did you do all those things? Yes, you did them. With your eyes wide open, you did them. You were there. It's like the enemy comes and is like, oh, you did that. Don't try to act like it didn't happen. And listen, take it from somebody who knows. Don't water it down. Don't be like, oh, it's not that big a deal. You know, don't talk yourself into thinking something's right that you know is wrong. Because that's a slippery slope.
Amen.
Don't be like, oh, so-and-so did it. Oh, that's this. Oh, don't do that. Just be like, you know what? You're right. Blew it. Blew it big time. I was there, eyes wide open, knew what I was doing. I blew it. But thank God for the blood of Jesus. Amen. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. Thank God He forgives me and He washes it away from me and He made me righteous. Amen? All right, you blew it. Get over it. And when people don't get over it, move on from them. If people won't give you another chance, listen, you don't need those people in your life. You don't need them. Now, I'm not talking, listen, if you stole somebody's car, don't expect the car keys next time. All right? Forgiveness and trust are two different things. Forgiveness and trust. Forgiveness is given. Trust is earned.
Amen.
But listen, everybody needs to believe the best in one another. You blew it. All right, let's reach down and help you up. Like in Acts chapter 3, when Peter and John prayed for the lame man, Peter said, it said, and reaching down and lifting him up. Sometimes you need somebody. Let's be the person. Let's not be the person that's like, I saw you. Let's not be that person. Let's be the person that says, come on now. You blew it. I know, but come on. Let's go. Let's go. We got things to do. Don't carry shame into 2019. God knows you blew it. That's why the blood of Jesus is here for us. He makes us righteous. We just got to repent. Now repent, listen to me, means turn away from. You got to turn away. If you're not turning away from something, you're not really repenting. If your hands are still in it, there's no repentance. Repentance is get up and turn away. Amen? Now, if you go back to it another time, what do you need to do? Repent again. But don't repent with your hands still in it. Don't repent with your hands on the keyboard looking at porn. Oh, I'm sorry, Lord. No, no, that's not how that works. You need to get up and walk away. Amen? You need to get up and walk away and call a friend and say, hey, come and put something on this computer because I can't handle this. And that's not a sign of weakness. That's a sign of wisdom. Listen, I believe that every person, male or female, I believe this, I live this. We all need to have accountability on our phones and on our computers because the temptation is just too great. Doesn't mean that you are a perv or anything like that. It means you're wise. It means you're wise. I have it on my stuff. My husband has it on his. You know why? Not because we have a problem in that area, because we don't want a problem. Man, I don't want a problem. And so it's like, before there is a problem, let's be wise. Right? That's a freebie. All right, let's keep going. That's a freebie we all need. All right, here we go. We're talking about things we need to know. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my provider. The Lord is my peace. The Lord is my healer. The Lord is my righteousness. And the Lord is my constant companion. He is my constant companion. Quit saying you're all alone. You are not alone. Amen. Quit saying that. Man, I hate to hear believers say that. I'm all alone. You are never alone. Your days of being alone are over. You're a believer. Jesus is your constant companion. Amen? The Bible says in Psalms 23, verse number 4, says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So many believers, you think that rod is for you. That rod is not for you. That rod is for the wolves that are coming for you. Jesus protects you. That's what that rod is for. And that staff, it's not to beat you with. Some people just got the wrong idea about Jesus. That staff is to guide you. It's to lead you and guide you. That's for that gentle nudge when you're going this way and you get that gentle nudge on the inside to say, this is not where you should be. That's his staff going, come on now. Come on now, this way, this way. That's what that staff is for. The rod is to protect you. The staff is to guide you. It's not to beat you over the head. God doesn't do that. Thank God, right? Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6 says, God has said, say that with me, God has said, never. When is never?
Never.
That's just deep right there.
Yeah.
Never is never. That means it never happens. Never. Never. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? Man, isn't that good? God is with me. You're getting ready to go into a scary meeting at work. You know what you need to say? God is with me. God is with me. Fear starts to come, and it comes to all of us. Fear tries to attack everybody. Fear of failure, fear of lack, fear of losing your job, fear of divorce, fear of all kinds of things comes. And when it comes, man, don't just let it overtake you. We need to speak the word and say, no, God is with me. God is with me. I don't need to be afraid because the Lord is my shepherd. He's leading me. He's guiding me. He's protecting me. He's helping me. Whatever I need, I've got for this situation. Man, doesn't that sound a whole lot better? And I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. Man, if you know me, you know those words very, very rarely ever come out of my mouth. If they do, I'll correct myself or I'll ask somebody around me to do it. I may not know the next step, but I know who does. And so instead of walking around going, I don't know what we're going to do, you know what I say? I thank you, Lord, that you're leading us, you're guiding us, you're helping us. We know what to do because we know you.
Yes.
We know you. I know what to do. Man, I tell you, the very day that Pastor Mark died, the very day that he died, man, you don't know. People are like, oh, man, I did it too. When I was an associate, listen, I know how this works. When I was an associate, I'd be like, oh, I would do it this way. If I was a pastor, I would, you have these thoughts. You don't say them out loud, because you're not allowed. But you have these thoughts. Oh, I would do this. Listen, I did it too. But man, when that mantle comes on you, you're just like, holy smokes. I mean, it's something you don't know till you have it. That's what I tell people. I'm like, man, don't be acting like you know. I used to act like I knew, and I did not know. You do not know until you stand in the office. You do not know. You do not know. And I remember when that happened, and it was like, this is it. I remember Pastor Tim. Thank God for him. Thank God for having a pastor. Everybody needs a pastor. Even pastors need pastors. And I remember Pastor Tim, he grabbed a hold of my shoulders and he looked me in the eye and he said, Peggy, you will know what to do because you know the one who does. Because he could see it on my face. I was like, what am I going to do? And he said, you'll know what to do. And do you know, on every turn, just knowledge would come. Direction would come. Information that I had no idea where it came from would come. You know why? Because God never leaves us. God never forsakes us. He is my helper. He is my constant companion. I am never alone. I am never without ability. I am never without the power of God. I am never without knowledge. I am never without my shepherd. Because he'll never leave me. In your darkest moment, in your darkest time, in the deepest pit, he is there. He is there. He is my constant companion. When I was backslidden and being crazy, I remember saying to the Lord, I'm so sorry that you're here. I'm sorry that I brought you to these places. I'm sorry that this is my life, I would say that, but then I would say, but I'm so thankful that you can't leave me. I'm so thankful you can't leave me because you'll never forsake me. God is always with you. Never forget that. Always. Never forget that. Man, it'll keep you straight when you need to be kept straight. It'll keep you strong when you need to be kept strong. The peace of God is there because Jesus gave it to you and he is there. He's my constant companion. Quit saying I'm all alone. Quit posting that on Facebook. You're looking for sympathy that's not going to help you. What you need is the power of God that will help you and change you. Man, sometimes people post stuff on Facebook. You're just looking for somebody to pet your flesh and be like, oh, I'm so sorry this happened. I'm so sorry. Listen, I don't want sorry. I want power.
Hallelujah.
I don't need sorry. I want the power of God. And if you don't want the power of God, you're going to stay in a pit. You're going to stay there. And God's down there with you like, what are we doing here? What are we even doing here? What are we doing here? We don't live here. We don't belong here. But you're like, oh, but I'm so alone. I'm so alone. You're not alone. Jesus is with you.
Jesus.
Amen? He's my constant companion. And then the next thing the Lord is, he's my defender. He's my defender. Listen, you don't have to defend God. God can take care of himself. Amen? You'll save yourself a lot of pointless arguments, people trying to defend God. You don't need to defend God. God will do it himself. Amen? The Bible says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. God prepares the table. God does it. In 2 Thessalonians 3:3, it says this, but the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. Ooh, isn't that good? I don't have to be afraid of the enemy. afraid of the devil? I don't have to be afraid of that. Why? Because God is my protector. God is my protector. He said that he will defend me. He will protect me. He will watch over me. The blood of Jesus covers me. Amen? And no devil in hell can get past the blood of Jesus. That covers me. And it covers you. Don't be afraid. Fear opens doors that you do not want open. And fear comes. It comes. But when it comes, don't let it stay. Deal with it. Speak to it. And when those feelings in your body or that fear feelings are coming, you need to remind yourself, I am not how I feel. I am not how I feel. I am who God says I am. I am what the Word of God says I am. I may feel terrified right now, but by His strength, I'm strengthened. Amen? God is with me. God's with me. We need to speak those words. And as we speak those words, they change feelings. Don't let feelings change you. You change the feelings. Amen? And the way you do that is through the Word. Listen, fear comes. It comes to all of us. Fear is an epidemic. It's an epidemic. Fear has another word, another name. It's called anxiety. That's just fear. It's fear. Let's not, just because it has a fancy name, let's not let it in. Amen. Just because it's popular and everybody seems to have it, let's not let it in. Amen. Let's not do that. I don't want to be one of the cool kids that have anxiety. No thanks. No thanks. Let's say what it is. It's a form of fear. Amen. That's what it is. And the Word of God works on it too. So when those feelings come, no matter how your body, listen, I've dealt with anxiety too. When people tell me they dealt with anxiety, I'd be like, okay. Because I had no idea what they were talking about. But then one day I knew. One day I knew. And I'll tell you, man, it changed me. But I didn't let it run me. I kept speaking the Word. I kept speaking the Word. And you know what? My feelings changed. Because the Word changes things. Amen? And so the Lord is my defender. And then the last one, He is my sanctifier. Oh, thank you, Lord. He is my sanctifier. Glory to you, Lord. Say that with me. He is my sanctifier. He is my sanctifier. What's our scripture? I just lost my notes because I pushed the wrong button. He says, but you. Look at your neighbor and say, that's you. That's me. That's you. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Who's that talking about? It's talking about me. That's talking about you. That's who God says I am. God sanctified me. I don't have to sanctify myself. I need to do my best to live a sanctified life, yes. But God sanctifies me. He empowers me. He calls me a royal priesthood. He calls me a chosen people. He calls me His own special possession. Yes. I belong to God. I belong to Him. Man, when you realize who you belong to, you'll take better care of yourself. You know, I had my dad's car this week because I loaned my cousin my car. Because there's no way my dad would loan my cousin his car. Because he's ridden with him. But anyway, so I have my dad's car. And I had the kids and they're like, I'm like, no eating in this car. You can eat in my car. You can't eat in this car. You know, I turn around. You know, Derek's got his foot on the seat tied. So I was like, get your foot on the seat. This is my dad's car. Why? I'm taking better care of it because of whose it is. I'm God's. I'm God's. It doesn't matter how people treat us. People are going to treat you bad. Just get used to it. Get used to it. People are going to wrong you. People are not going to like you. People are going to think you're nuts. People are going to think you're silly. People are going to think you're a jerk. They've got all kinds of names for us. But you know what? It doesn't change who and whose I am. So instead of concentrating so much about what other people say or what names and labels other people want to put on us, listen, it doesn't matter what label or what name they call, just don't answer it to it. You can call me whatever you want, but I'm not answering because that's not my name. That's not my name. I used to preach this, just because the phone rings doesn't mean you got to answer it. Just because a question is asked doesn't mean you have to answer it. Don't give people power that they don't deserve. People don't deserve that kind of power. Just because you call me, just because you call my name or call me by a name doesn't mean I have to answer to it. I'll answer if it's the name God's given me. Because I am his and he is mine. I love that song. It's the number one song on my phone. I play it all the time because I am yours and you are mine. Oh, isn't that good? The Lord is my shepherd. These are things we need to know for 2019. Don't go into 2019 trying to be your own shepherd. You're not equipped. You're not equipped. You don't have the right stuff. Thank God he does. And so I hope today you'll remember these truths and you'll take them into 2019 because we're going to need them. We're going to need them. And thank God that they're ours and they're for today. But as we're passing out communion, I want us all to just be in a time of reflection about who God is. Is he mine? Maybe in 2018, your relationship with the Lord, it got away from you a little bit. Just let that go. Let's start fresh. Amen? God's a God of fresh starts. That's what mercy is all about. The Bible says his mercy is renewed every day. Every day, God's going to give you what you need, not what you deserve. And if you're here today and you say, you know what, looking back at 2018, looking back, I my relationship with the Lord was not what it needed to be. Let that go. Learn from it and start fresh today. Start fresh today. So as the ushers are passing out communion, let's all just be in just a moment of reflection and ask ourselves, what should my relationship with the Lord look like for 2019? What changes do I want to make? Thank you. For 2019, because you know what? Here's something really deep. You should write this down. If you don't make change, there will not be change. I know that's deep. It's so simple, but it's so true. If you don't make change in your relationship with the Lord, it's not going to be different. It's not going to be different. In every situation, let's pray in the Spirit. We need to remember who God is. We need to remind ourselves, the Lord is my shepherd. Oh, thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you're my shepherd. You're my peace. You're my righteousness. You are my healer. You're my defender. You're my constant companion. You are my righteousness. You are my sanctifier. Oh, I thank you, Lord, that you are my shepherd. Thank you, Jesus.